Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That was a spooky wolf.
Good job.
Hello, and welcome to Sawbones, a Maryland tour of misguided medicine. My name is Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy. Had you started recording when you did that?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I got the Foley in there.
Oh, okay.
Trying to set a spooky mood for this very spooky episode.
I don't know that it's very spooky.
The moon is the sun's spooky brother.
Is that your theory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a big rock, but also it's the sun's spooky brother.
I don't know if the moon is inherently spooky, but I think we can all agree that for some reason we connect the full moon with strange happenings.
Lycanthropy.
Yes.
Perhaps.
That, of course, werewolves, but also just maybe...
Dracula's.
No, well, sure. Yes, of course. But also just kind of unusual things happening or
zombies.
A higher likelihood of...
Jason.
A higher likelihood of Jason.
Up to his old tricks.
I mean that we tend to believe that the full moon could indicate that there's going to be some unusual human behavior, exaggerated behavior...
Frankenstein.
Something wild might happen.
Right.
Yes.
And that's what you want to talk about this week on Sawbones.
Well, that's the reason that I'm connecting that to Sawbones is that this myth, this theory is rampant in the medical world.
Really?
Yes.
Like now?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yes, to this day. There is a commonly held belief in medicine that if you're having a night in the emergency room where it just seems like there's way more patients than on average, or the cases that are coming in are just a lot more unusual or unexpected or kind of a bizarrely large number of accidents or traumas or anything like that, that you'll look out the window and see that full moon because it's the full moon that's to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And that belief is, like I said, it's, you would be surprised how many scientific minded people
still caught to that,
still absolutely believe that. And I thought we should talk about why, where does that come from?
Tell me, Sydney, I'm on the edge of my comfy chair.
Well, thank you to Alma who recommended this topic.
Okay.
And why do we believe this? A lot of what we think about the moon and behavior in general, whether you're talking about medical related topics or just what effect the moon has on us, a lot of it comes down to tides.
The Prince of Tides.
No, like the actual ocean tides.
Ah, okay.
Because the moon's kind of in charge of those.
Yeah, the moon is the the moon is the sun's spooky brother, and also is in charge of tides.
The boss of tides.
The boss of tides.
So connecting to that, because human beings are largely water, there is a belief that the moon has an effect on us because it is pulling or pushing on
our internal ocean,
on our water, on our body water, and making us. Do things, act ways, think things, etc.
Now, Sydney, that doesn't ring true for me, but I'm assuming maybe it is true.
No, no. I mean, the idea, it's not true, because the idea is that we're talking about the gravitational force that the moon is exerting on a human body being strong enough to create, I guess, internal tides. Mm-hmm. This is very poetic, that your internal tides are shifting.
Yeah, it's a lovely thought.
But they're not.
But they're not.
There's several problems with this theory. First of all, if we're going to say that the full moon is responsible for strange human behavior because of tides, you would also have to say that the new moon is responsible because mm-hmm. it also exerts force and creates tides.
Just less because no. you can't see. Okay. All right. No, it's going to be one of those tricky episodes.
The same.
You're laying a few traps.
But nobody talks about the new moon and all of the things that happen on the new moon. Mm-hmm. Also, to give you kind of a point of reference, a mother holding a baby exerts 12 million times the force on that baby that the moon does.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. So if you want to talk about like gravitational pull and forces, the idea that the moon could have a strong impact on your individual human brain doesn't make much sense. A mosquito on your arm is exerting more force on you than the moon.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'm starting to feel less scared of the moon by the moment.
And then finally, the moon only affects open bodies of water. So like an ocean.
Or...
a lake.
I could go on. I know lots of bodies of water.
Name all the bodies of water you know. Go.
Rivers also, and creeks, mm-hmm. and inlets, mm-hmm. and keys. No, not keys.
No, I think those are land.
Gulfs.
Good. You keep thinking about bodies of water. I'll tell you this: the body of water that is your body. Which is a body of water.
Yeah, that's true. That's technically
true. It's a closed system. The water's like in you. So the moon doesn't, it couldn't. So the theory doesn't make sense. But that's where all of this comes from. That's the kind of the central idea. And our belief that the moon can then, using tides or of course throughout history, various maybe magical thinking as well, but whatever your belief is, scientific or otherwise, this dates back to ancient times. There was a long held belief that one of the most common effects the moon could have on your behavior was that it could cause mental illness or exacerbate underlying psychiatric disease. Mm-hmm. So if somebody had already been diagnosed with something, or maybe this would be the first time you would notice it, that you would see evidence of that illness because the full moon would trigger it.
Okay.
In some way.
All right.
And this is why, if you look at the word, for moon, luna, if you're like lunar, if mm-hmm. you're talking about the root of that word, you'll notice that it is closely related to the word lunatic or lunacy.
Oh, okay.
Not words that we use anymore, but that's where that comes from. Mm-hmm. The idea that the moon is influencing people's behavior.
Yeah.
But that's all it is. That we're talking about a time where we didn't understand that psychiatric illness really existed. So for all we knew, it was the moon influencing people to
Sure, act why not? It's as good a guess as anything.
Yeah. Hippocrates wrote about this.
It must have been kind of a relief for people then to be like, well, that one is actually the moon. So there's actually this one we cannot help with. We're going to go ahead and chalk that just up to the moon.
As opposed to all the things we're so good at helping with.
We're really good
with.
At doing other things, but for this one, it's just like, that one's the moon. So what do
that
you want
one's
to
the
do?
Moon. But that other thing you have going on, what is it? I don't know. It's a humor thing. Here's the point. Take this. It's going to make you poop a lot. And when you're done, come back. I'll cut you open and we'll bleed you a bit.
Just feel, count yourself lucky. It's not moon centric.
But the moon thing, we have no, maybe that's the safest thing, really, because then at least they're not going to try to
treat they're not
going to
make it worse.
Hippocrates wrote about it, that the one who is seized with terror, fright, and madness during the night is being visited by the goddess of the moon. Mm-hmm. So I guess nightmares. Insomnia. Yeah.
Again, more poetry, another poetic way of...
Exactly, but same idea that somehow the moon is influencing your ability to function at night. Of course, Pliny the Elder had to weigh in. And, you know, you could take a step back and be impressed by the fact that Pliny, following in the footsteps of Aristotle, understood the idea of tides mm-hmm. and the moon's influence. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sciencey.
Yeah, that does sound
very solid. Although what he also, the way he connected this to human behavior is that the brain, in his opinion, was the moistest.
I think that's true.
Of the moistest of our organs.
Mm-hmm. Rank the organs in order of moistness.
I will never do that.
Okay. You really hate that word, don't you? That word really bothers you.
Yes.
You got really upset when I said it yesterday. I didn't understand what's happening.
I think it's an upsetting word for a lot of people.
It is. It's a definite trigger for some.
Definitely,
folks.
We should add that to. I am sorry. I will say that word in the show. Justin will say it too.
We should mention it up front.
But because he thought that the brain was that it would be the most susceptible to the moon's influence on tides, because you got the most water in your brain. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's CSF fluid up there, and there's ventricles filled with it.
Cerebrospinal fluid, you mean, Sydney?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. But again, we've already completely debunked that, so it doesn't make sense. But that was the basis for that theory. In the Middle Ages, this began to be known as, and actually, you'll still find this term today, the Transylvania effect.
No.
No?
No, I haven't heard. I'm not familiar.
Okay, well... Believe me.
I'll take
it. I thought you were
it.
Just refusing to believe me. Nope.
No. I do totally
not around.
For it.
Nope. Lie.
Yeah.
The Transylvania effect, meaning basically that the full moon is going to have some sort of spooky effect on you. And that's where you get like the tie into a lot of vampire mythology and werewolf mythology and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you already have this sort of belief that the full moon is going to make humans behave less like humans or like a different human, then it would be easy to extend that into a werewolf type.
Why not?
Myth, you know? Yeah, I mean, you can see
everybody loves would... crossovers.
Well, you can see the roots of that.
Yeah.
The origins of those stories. In 18th century England, let's say that you killed somebody. Okay.
You never proved anything.
Well, but no, you already said you did it.
Oh, okay.
But if you've been caught and you could prove that you did it on the night of a full moon, you could kind of request a lighter sentence.
Because
it was the moon's fault, not really yours.
I love that.
Yeah. And you could actually, it was your grounds were at the time what they would call lunacy. The moon had an effect on me. It was not my fault. I had no control over my behavior. You can't blame me.
It was the moon.
Blame it on the moon.
Blame it on the moon.
Yeah. Is that like
Blame it on the...
No. That's the bossa nova.
Blame it on the bossa nova. That's what you're thinking of.
That's not it.
Blame it on the rain. That's what it was.
You can blame it on the moon, but that's not a song, as far as I know. It might be.
It could be. There's actually lots of songs.
Blame
It on the Moon by Bob Seger.
There you go.
No, that's Shame on the Moon.
Oh.
Blame on the Moon by Katie Malua. So there you go.
So there are songs where they're imploring you, please blame it on the moon. In London's Bethlehem Hospital, they actually would take it a step further because there was this fear that patients who were there for psychiatric reasons would be influenced by the moon, by the full moon, to do things that they typically wouldn't do, to have more extreme behaviors. They would be shackled on certain nights to try to prevent that behavior.
It's so wild to me that we were able to understand that the moon affected tides, and yet we thought that inside a building the moon could still get you. And do things.
Well, I don't know, honey. We just didn't understand much.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm not asking for you to mount a defense. I've been here for a while, too.
Human behavior is difficult. It's difficult to this day to categorize and to diagnose. And at a time when we didn't have, I mean, you wouldn't have had the language to understand.
Sure.
Any of this.
But we worked out that the moon, a giant rock in space, altered the tides, which is a pretty big jump. I mean, all things considered. And then we're like, what else could, I mean, they got greedy is what it was. They made one discovery and they're like, I guess it does a lot of things with liquids.
Like brain liquid.
Brain liquid.
Yeah. Epilepsy has been blamed on the moon in the past. We've done a whole episode on epilepsy, that because seizures and epilepsy for a long time were so poorly understood and could be very unsettling to observe, mm-hmm. that there were lots of theories about
there's a lot of that epilepsy and psychiatric illness getting lumped together throughout history, right?
Like, yes. And then like the tie-in with magic and witchcraft, right. Or possession. Sure. Exactly, those kinds of things, just because it was hard for people to understand. And a patient who has a seizure is not able to explain to you afterwards, oh, let me tell you exactly what just happened. You know, they're not conscious during the seizure. Right. But, you know, so it was, they were very poorly understood. So it was easy to leap from there to assumptions that the moon could trigger seizures. And, you know, you see somebody have a seizure and you happen to look up and it's full moon and then you just assume.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like your acne clears up and you look up and it's a full moon. And it's like, oh, cool. The moon clears acne. Neat.
It's as silly as that sounds. How many times is that really what an episode boils down to?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not. Hiccups are my favorite. Whatever happened the moment before your hiccups naturally stopped is what cured your hiccups.
I think that's magical thinking. Many, many patients even began to believe this and fear the effect of the full moon.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because they didn't. Like I said, it's not like you would understand your seizures yourself back then. So it could be the full moon.
Something's doing it.
Many people claim insomnia on full moon nights, that you're, especially if you're somebody who suffers from insomnia periodically, that it's worse on the night of a full moon.
I wonder, you know what? I wonder in the days back before we had a lot of electric lights, if there might be something to that. Like
I have a whole thing on that.
Really?
J-Man.
Oh, yep. Cool. I don't want to get ahead of you. I'm sorry.
But I will say this. Evidence has never really backed up the idea that there is a higher incidence of insomnia on nights of a full moon. There have been some small studies that found maybe like an overall decrease in sleep time of 5 minutes on a night of a full moon, mm-hmm. as compared to the average night. But they were very small studies and the results were not particularly significant and they've not been reproducible. And so as much as even people, like I said, who suffer from insomnia will say it gets worse on the night of a full moon, we haven't really been able to scientifically prove that. Mm-hmm. There was also a study from 1980 of 312 people who have periods that found that 40% of them started their menstrual cycle within 2 weeks of a full moon. This is not, even when I say that doesn't sound impressive, right?
Right.
40% of people in this study started their period within 2 weeks of a full moon.
Yeah, if you run the numbers, that just about tracks.
Right. Even that statistic, I read it and I thought, I don't know if this is a positive or negative. I don't know what you've proven.
Right.
And it's never been reproduced since. Again, 312 people in 1980. However, this is used to this day as evidence that somehow the moon can affect.
Okay, now I hate to quibble about this, but
Are you going to try to make a case that it does?
No, I'm going to say, isn't within 2 weeks of the full moon cover the entirety of the lunar cycle?
No.
No, I guess it's just the half month before and the half month after, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what you start running into are like the overlap of the lunar cycle and the menstrual cycle and how many days on average they both tend to run.
I'm saying that if you're talking about it's 2 weeks away from a full moon, right? Mm-hmm. It's always either 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after the full moon, right?
I guess, yeah.
So within 2 weeks of a full moon would be 4 weeks, right?
I know. It seems, yeah.
I'm sure they didn't mean it like that. It's a confusing statistic.
There's also, it doesn't mean anything, I don't think.
It doesn't mean anything.
Why am I trying to read into it? I think that's the problem, but somehow it's been used as like don't you remember that one study? Mm-hmm. That one study about moons and periods.
You'll remember.
That's very important.
I bet they mean the 2 weeks leading up to a full moon, I bet.
But this, perhaps. I said 2 weeks within. But this is just the beginning of the connection that people try to draw between the moon and menstrual cycles and fertility and pregnancy in general.
Well, tell me more.
I'm going to tell you about it, but first come with me to the billing department.
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. So you were going to tell me another more moon heat.
So as I said, this idea that somehow the moon is connected to menstrual cycles and ovulation and fertility and all that kind of thing is more than just moons and periods. In the 1950s, there was a Czech doctor, Eugen Jonas, who...
You want that Czech to look like something else? Maybe I know a guy who could sneak a zero or two in there. He's a Czech doctor. Fix that up. Make it look a real nice big Czech.
That's where you're going there?
Czech doctor. Real clean work.
Anyway, Dr. Jonas, the story goes that he was motivated in this search and what he would uncover. He was motivated by his religious beliefs in response to recent Czech law that had been passed allowing for abortions, and that he was a very religious person and he was morally opposed. And so he kind of, as a way to channel his energy, he began looking for a way to medically ensure fertility and healthy births and to kind of help promote birth.
Okay.
Like, that was his goal. Not necessarily to change the law, but just on the other end of things. Well, yeah. I'm just going to make more people have babies.
Okay.
And so in his search for this, he stumbled across an ancient Assyrian astrological text that cited certain like mathematical formulas you could use, and by calculating angles of the moon and working out like your nativity on the days that you were born, in order to figure out when you are most fertile and most likely to conceive.
Okay.
So, based on his readings, he discovered this kind of secret second cycle that people who have menstrual cycles are able to undergo, and it's all based on the moon, and it's totally separate.
Okay.
It's not your period. It's a secret thing that the moon is doing to you.
Okay.
To your uterus.
But it's a secret.
And your ovaries. But it's a secret, but he discovered it, so now the secret can be yours. it has to do with the angle between the sun and the moon at the exact time of your birth. And so if you can figure out the time of your birth and like the time of day and what that angle was, and you can figure out when that's going to occur at a given day when you are already determined you're most fertile, that is the time of day during which you should have intercourse in order to conceive.
Oh, cool. Why isn't everybody talking about this great information?
The day that you need to do this, so you calculate the time, the day you need to do it is 2 days prior to the day that the moon is in the same position as it was when you were born, because that's the day you're going to ovulate, regardless of where you are in your menstrual cycle. So you may be right in the middle of your period, but if it's 2 days before the moon is in the same position as it was on the day you were born, you are going to ovulate. And if you go to the exact time that the angle of the sun and the moon is the way that it was when you were born, if you have sex at that moment, then you'll definitely conceive.
This seems so powerful. Why am I just now hearing about it?
It's all over the internet. If you look up the Jonas method, you will find endless like modern sites describing to you how to do this. Mm-hmm. This is not gone. Mm-hmm.
Now I can see why his brothers don't talk about him more. The rest of the Jonas brothers, I mean.
I knew you'd go there.
I took the long way around to make you think that I wasn't. And then what's that behind the bush?
And then we're coming back.
It's a comedy asp waiting to strike.
Then we're coming back. So he called this science?
Sydney, no, dear. No, sweetie. No. Solomon's gotten your brain.
Astrology?
No. No. Maybe astrology. I can agree.
Whatever you want to say this is, he called it cosmobiology.
That is so good. Oh. It's my favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers album.
I like it too because in my head, when I hear Cosmobiology, I think of a biology textbook brought to you by Cosmo.
Sure.
So it's like biology, but then like but lipstick also, tips or something. I don't know. Anyway, and he based in
see how to make your Golgi bodies really pop for your special man.
That was good. Golgi Thanks, bodies. Ed. You pulled that out of nowhere.
Thanks.
So, and he based an entire family planning method on this hypothesis, as I said, the Jonas method, which you can still read about, which I think if you want in, like at a lot of places, if you try to get explained in depth, you have to pay and they'll do the math for you.
Start to get a little sketchy.
Yeah,
at that point,
they'll calculate all this
the
stuff.
The fact that
for
there's
you.
Not just a website where I can just type it in seems.
There are those, but you really want like the full deal with like the big chart with like the moon phases and different days and telling you what time and day you should have sex and all that kind of stuff, I think there are places you can pay to get that done. He also, and this wasn't enough though, like all this sounds like a well-meaning guy who's trying to help people who, I mean, I'm assuming people who are coming to him and saying, I would like to conceive, I would like to have help having a child, misguided for sure, but way to try to help them figure that out. He took it a step further. He believed that you could use these methods to control the gender of your child as well. So if you could figure out the position
that
of,
your parents did it.
No.
Okay.
Please don't ever figure that out. The position of the moon at the time of conception will consider your gender. And this is pretty straightforward. So, you know, there's like your astrological sign. That's like your sun sign. Like you're a Scorpio.
Sure. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like there's you have a moon sign too. That's
oh, great.
Where the moon is.
Great.
They're the same signs. It's just different.
I can't believe I'm just now finding out about this.
Yeah. So you have a moon sign. So the position of the moon on the day that you conceive is based on what astrological sign that corresponds with will decide what gender your child is. So if the moon is in Aries, Gemini, Leo, Libra, Sagittarius, Aquarius, you get a boy. Taurus, Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, Pisces, you get a girl.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
So once you've done all that math, you can pay for your charts, you get all that. You very technically, scientifically start doing it. And then you get a baby.
That's science, folks.
That's, let me tell you about the birds and the
bees. And the moon and the sun.
And the Jonas method. So there's the Jonas method. I don't believe there's any evidence that any of that works.
Whoa, slow down. It all sounded very plausible.
So with all this in mind, all these different theories, so people think that the moon can affect psychiatric behavior. It can affect
ER rates.
Fertility. It'll affect ER visits. It'll affect birth rates in general,
your brain meat, your psychiatry.
Yeah, exactly. And with your periods and with all this, the question is it true? So as I already alluded to, people who work in medicine think it is. A 2011 study from the World Journal of Surgery found that 40% of medical staff believe that on nights of a full moon, there is an increased incidence of one or several of these different things.
Right.
Somehow the moon is affected.
Did you ever notice it? Like, did you ever feel this as a medical professional?
I have never myself noticed it.
Who's going outside to look at the moon? That's question one for me.
Well, and I think that's part of it for me. I don't know if maybe if you talk to ER staff, it would be a different view. I only worked overnight as a resident. And in residency, you don't really go outside.
Right. Ever.
Ever.
Until
you stumble out of the hospital after 30 hours into the blinding sun and have no idea where or when or what's happened. Yeah. I certainly didn't know what phase the moon was in at any time.
No, ma'am.
So I don't think there's any way for me to do that. But if you live, you know, if your career, if your life is shift work where you work at night, you get used to it. You may be more likely to notice these things.
Sure.
There was a study from Iran in 2004 that tried to check this out, see is this true. So we know that medical staff believe it, but is it true? They analyzed three emergency departments over the course of 13 months, and they found absolutely no variation in ER visits based on the lunar cycle. Huh. So it didn't matter where the moon was, what phase the moon was in. You averaged about the same number.
So why? But like why? It seems like such an easy thing to to prove? Why is it still kicking around?
It's very easy to prove. There was another study in 92 from Canada that showed no relation between full moons and calls to trauma or poison centers, and yet another 1992 study that showed no relationship between full moons and suicide. Mm. So all of these kinds of myths have been studied. I always wonder who funded these.
Yeah. It seems like one of those that's so sort of like, no, probably not.
Yeah.
That it seems
somebody
weird.
Funded them.
Yeah, somebody wrote the check.
I guess just chart reviews, but still, who funded
probably universities, them? Right?
Universities.
Gotta
yeah.
do something.
So anyway, despite all this, why do we believe it? Well, first of all, for a very basic reason that humans don't like things that are unpredictable. We don't like when things are out of our control.
Well, throw rocks at the moon.
If you're Charlie, you want to punch it.
You want to punch it.
You want to punch the moon because the moon comes out in the day sometimes.
What's he doing up there?
Yeah. You can't control the moon.
Nope.
But then now all of a sudden we have this concept that maybe the moon controls us, and we don't like that. We don't like that. So we try to find patterns that we can apply to the world to make sense of it.
Yeah.
Even though you can't control the way the moon might influence your behavior, you can prepare for the fact that the moon definitely does and stay home on nights
I
of
guess.
Full moons.
Chain yourself up. Like
something.
In Buffy.
Like what? Like check your work shifts ahead of time and make sure you're not working on a night of a full moon.
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. We like the idea that we can predict and plan out the world and therefore we make sense of it and we have more control. It's also just confirmation bias. So let's say that you are working in an ER and you have a particularly busy night where a lot of unusual kinds of things happen.
As you're leaving, you see it's a full moon and you think, well, there you go.
And you always remember that night. You'll forget all the nights where you had a really busy, unusual night and it wasn't a full moon. Mm-hmm. You'll forget all the nights that it was a full moon and it was a pretty mundane shift. You just remember the evidence that supports your assumption and you forget everything that refutes it, which is not just true of medical staff and ERs. Of course, it's true of all of us as humans all the mm-hmm. time. We like to do that.
Yeah.
Some have argued exactly what you said, Justin, that maybe the origins of this are in a time before a lot of electric lighting, indoor lighting.
So the moon is out. Everybody can stay out and drink later. Mm-hmm. They just go full debauch.
Well,
tear the town up.
In general, the idea that if you don't have any artificial sources of light, your night and day schedules are a lot more clearly dictated by the moon and the sun.
Your circadian rhythms.
And so you would be maybe more prone to be more active, be out later, and maybe do stunts.
Cool, sort of dangerous stunts.
Cool, dangerous stunts because you've got more light by the full moon to do it.
To ramp your bike over a pedal cab.
That's exactly what people were doing in ancient times prior to any sort of lighting.
Yeah.
So there is that theory that maybe that's why we used to believe that. Maybe that did lead to insomnia.
Well, it's bright outside, right?
Yeah,
it's
brighter.
That's what I was talking about. I mean, it's just bright.
And certainly if you want to continue to extrapolate that, we know that if you do have underlying psychiatric illness, a stretch of day, you know, a night where you don't get a good night's sleep or you do have insomnia, you know, that can exacerbate that.
Yeah.
But now we have lamps, so none of that really makes sense.
So yeah, we're all fine.
Yeah. One interesting little note, all of this stuff I've said may not apply to animals. In studying 11,940 cases, so a significant number of cases, at the Colorado State University Veterinary Medical Center, researchers found that the risk of emergency room visits for pets is 23% higher for cats and 28% higher for dogs on days surrounding full moons.
Huh.
I got nothing for that.
Who knows? I don't know.
I got nothing. All I'm saying is everything else I've just said apparently only applies to humans.
Check back with us at Sawbones 2, where we answer all these lingering questions.
No, I will never be able to answer questions about any other animal than the human animal. I don't know anything about them.
Sorry. Folks, that is going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Sorry I missed you last week. I was doing a thing, and I couldn't be here to report.
Charlie got sick,
and then...
Life just happened. It must have been a full moon.
And,
That's not true. The last full moon was October 5th.
You just keep that on hand? sort of in your mind's eye?
No, I looked it up. Tomorrow's a new moon.
Oh, looking forward to it.
Happy new moon tomorrow. Do the day you hear this, probably.
Which one will, what color will it be this time? Who knows?
No, wait.
That thanks to Max Fun Network for having us on. If you're looking for a new Max Fun show that kind of has, I think Subbin's listeners would dig, Adam Ruins Everything is not just a very fun TV show. It is also a podcast on a network. And same guy, too.
I enjoy it, so I think you would.
Yeah. So check it out. Adam Ruins Everything on iTunes or MaximumFun.org. And folks, that's going to do it for us for this week. Oh, thanks to the taxpayers for letting us use their song Medicines as the intro and outroduction. No one says outroduction. You ever notice
except
that?
You. You just
intro is intro. Intro is introduction, but outro is not outroduction.
No.
That's something to think about. a few people sent stuff to our post office box. Megan sent some Jimmy Buffett books. Thank you. Sarah sent a beautiful junk journal that she made. I know it doesn't sound beautiful because I called it junk, but that was her name.
She called it that, not us.
It was a lovely object. Thank you to everybody who did that. That's going to do it for us, folks, for this week. So until next week, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
I love it.
Good
man,
stuff.
Every time. Well, I hope that you're enjoying this podcast you're listening to as much as we are pretending to. But anyway, why not listen to another podcast too? It's called The Flophouse.
And on our podcast, we have recently watched a movie, often a bad movie, and we review it on our podcast, but mainly talk about other stuff and, I don't know, hang out.
It's all about hanging out, feeling like you're being with your best friends. Who are your best friends? Us three. Dan McCoy, Emmy Award-winning writer for The Daily Show, Stuart Wellington, owner of the best bar in Brooklyn, Hinterlands, and Elliot Kalin, former Emmy-winning head writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, former head writer of Mystery Science Theater 3000, The Return, so many things. Author of the upcoming children's book,
All right, that's enough.
The Elliot's credits just go on and on.
Yeah, but if you like the idea of listening to three funny guys talk about bad movies, then why not come over and listen to The Flophouse? It's available at MaximumFun.org or wherever fine podcasts are found.
So get out of here.